part that maybe, just maybe, the richest guy in the world may be hiding on your email list and is just waiting for you to send out that feedback survey.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Mickey Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-in play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go.
Wow. I absolutely loved Jonathan's story. I'm racking my brains trying to remember how I found licorice.com, and I think they were mentioned in Morning Brew or The Hustle or something. I was totally taken by the idea of a site solely dedicated to licorice, and their UX and just overall site flow is fabulous. Warning, be prepared to spend an hour or so drooling if you go check them out. Of course, I signed up for their email list. My favorite way to do that is to abandon cart, by the way. And their emails were just as good as their site. So they made the shortlist of brands that I wanted to interview for season one of Email Swipes. So I reached out to Jonathan, and when he showed me this email that he wanted to feature, I was like, hey, I know this email, but wait, no, I don't. It's different. And I realized that I got the non-customer version of this email. And at the time, I thought it was so well done that I actually did a LinkedIn post about it. Still, I had no idea what the email did for the company. I thought it was a great ask. I thought the survey flowed very well. The whole thing felt so friendly and natural. But that was just from the customer perspective. It was so exciting to hear just how much it did for the company, for their data, for their connections, and probably most importantly, for their confidence. Just makes you fall in love with email all over again now. Okay, so what made the email so great anyway? Let's get into our takeaways. Let's start with the actual copy of the email. There's one line in the email that I think shines, and it's something we didn't even get into in the interview. Can you guess which line I'm talking about? With love and licorice? Nope, it's not that one, although that line is super fun. I'm not sure if you know this, but you're actually one of our very first customers. That line is genius because it does two things. Number one, it's super persuasive. It tells the customer that any feedback they give will be super impactful. We'll get into this more later in the episode when we talk about incentives. But one of the best ways to get people to give feedback is to make it feel really meaningful to give feedback. Often, we can't show this so well. We can just tell the reader just, you know, how much we value their feedback. But we know the copy principle, show, don't tell. Anytime we can just illustrate something without spelling it out for the customer, it's that much more convincing. It feels more authentic, less cliche, more believable. Telling the customer that they are one of the first customers is actually showing them how meaningful their feedback is without having to actually tell them how meaningful their feedback is, which sometimes can come across as really eye-roll worthy. So takeaway number one, show, don't tell. You may know this principle, but how often are you using it? Wherever possible, illustrate what you're trying to share. There's really no end to how you can do this creatively if you give it the time and the effort. It is so much easier to say, your feedback means so much to us. But even that is showable, as we can see from this email. The second thing this line of, you're actually one of our very first customers, does is it creates a feeling of importance. It makes the reader feel really cool. They discover the new kid on the block? That's pretty sweet. I will not make a pun here. Telling the reader that they are one of the first creates a feeling of being in the know, which creates a great connection to the brand. On the one hand, they feel like they impacted the brand, but it also makes them very subtly indebted to the brand because it's the brand that gave them this feeling of being cool. It's kind of like a combo of likability and reciprocity, two very powerful persuasion principles that Cialdini discovered connect people or brands. So, takeaway number two, likability can actually create reciprocity. Which means that if you're asking for something, in this case, feedback, do as much as you can to be really charming or to use a proof point that makes the reader feel tangibly great, to make yourself likable, basically. This is the base upon which the principle you versus we sits. Why don't we want to talk about the brand? Where does this principle of you versus we come from? Why do we always want to spin it around to the customer and help them see what's in it for me? Because it is so much more likable and relatable and meaningful when it's about them. Let's illustrate this for a second because we're getting a little theoretical. Imagine that licorice.com wrote, we're a brand new brand, instead of, you're one of our first customers. That customer may really like the brand. Let's say they had a great purchase experience. But it just doesn't create that feeling of responsibility and reciprocity. It's not about them. They may like the brand well enough, but they don't feel that push to help. The connection just isn't there. To summarize, because takeaway number two got a little long-winded, making it about the reader can actually make it about the brand. Use the copy principle of you versus we to create connection between your reader and the brand. Oh, and by the way, check out the show notes for a link to Influence by Cialdini, because if you haven't read it yet, it's fascinating. Next, let's talk about the emotions behind this scent. Asking for feedback can feel really scary. We often couch the fear of asking for feedback under being scared to bother our customers. But I think the feedback itself is what scares us. It is a scary thing. Critiques stink. Even if we're looking to grow, even if we want to know for real, it's hard. The even harder thing is that our brains focus 7 times more on negative reactions than they do on positive ones. So even if we do get amazing feedback from 7 people, we will still focus on that one comment from that one downer. So stories like this can be a real inspiration. They show us that, sure, there's a risk of seeing that we're not serving our customers as best as we will propel us in ways we can't even imagine. You think the licorice.com team thought one of the wealthiest individuals on the planet would respond? And more than respond, would offer one-on-one ongoing guidance? So takeaway number 3, give yourself all the logic talks. What's the risk of asking customers for feedback? Are people not going to buy again because you had the audacity to ask them how their experience was? Or is that actually just going to make them see that you care about your customers? Are you bothering people who like you and want to share their experience? Or people who actually weren't so happy and could use the validation? How will you grow if you don't uncover your blind spots? And take heart that maybe, just maybe, the richest guy in the world may be hiding on your email list and is just waiting for you to send out that feedback survey. Okay, let's talk incentives. Incentives are external motivators. As humans, we do so much better if we're intrinsically motivated than if we are externally motivated. It is sheer craziness. We are more creative, we are more focused, we're more gracious, more everything when the drive comes from within. Do a quick Google Scholar search on external versus internal motivation. There are countless studies and they are so cool and so fun. So, in an ideal world, we want feedback that comes from responders who are giving feedback of their own accord, from respondents who want to share their experience just because they want to share their experience. Their answers will be longer, they'll be deeper, they'll be more honest. Now, this doesn't mean you can just ask for feedback and hope that people are going to want to respond out of the goodness of their hearts. And it definitely does not mean you can just wait for people to give you feedback without asking for it. Unless you have developed a cult brand, you need to work a little to tap into that internal motivation. And quite honestly, that's kind of what copywriting is always doing. We never actually sell people on anything that they don't already believe themselves. We're just aligning whatever we do with what they already believe and want. So like we touched on in takeaway number 1, we want to show our respondents just how much this feedback means to us, which means that currency that we are giving them in exchange for their feedback, the incentive we're giving them, is a feeling of mattering, of goodwill. That should be the what's in it for me that we are framing the ask around. Caveat, this may not always work. Sometimes, often really, you have to incentivize with money or a gift to get responses, and that's okay, but definitely try once without offering an incentive. So takeaway number 4, try once without a real incentive and focus on giving them a psychological incentive instead. If you love email swipes, you will love my playbooks. They are chock full of inspiration with dozens of examples, color-coded breakdowns, and all the whys and hows and wheres and whats of all the different e-com flows. Even better, they're affordable. One anonymous copywriter said, "In a world full of $1,000 and $2,000 copywriting courses, being able to learn a sequence for $52 is amazing." By the way, you can learn them for even less if you get the whole bundle. Another piece of feedback that I loved: I purchased the Welcome Sequence Playback and loved it. It's an easy, flowing read, and following it is a breeze. I love how it's so actionable. It takes you step by step through the process, but you don't end up with a templated sequence that sounds the same. I also love how you brought in relevant examples to prove the point you were making. I pull it up before every welcome sequence I write. That's a big point of these playbooks, that you don't end up with the same thing every single time, that you understand the strategy. Just like copywriter Paul Melrose says, "Since using Nikki's playbook, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without the playbooks would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute." And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play so you can solve your own or your client's email problems.
big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Thanks, Nikki. But don't think it's all theory. Holly Williams says, had a quick turnaround deadline on an email sequence I hadn't written in a while, but I didn't even sweat it. I pulled up one of Nikki's playbooks and voila, I had a winning sequence in record time. Nikki's playbooks give you the perfect roadmap for using the data you have to craft email sequences that perform well every single time. Thanks, Nikki. I love your playbooks. And one last one, this one from a founder. I put into action the FAQ email and the 12-hour warning email you suggested, along with two other emails and two texts, and I got over $105,000 in revenue in the weekend from the promo. Pretty neat. Never made so many sales via email. Your book helped me save time to get this done. So whether you want to save time, understand things better, or just get some amazing inspiration, go grab a playbook, or two, or 12, at nikkialbus.com/email-playbooks. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Wish you were in e-com just so that you could grab my playbooks, but you're in SaaS? Don't worry, I got your back with the SaaS Success Pack. Say that 5 times fast. Okay, don't. Just head to the show notes. You'll find the link and grab it there. Okay, back to our show. Moving right along. I love that the team knew that using a female name is a best practice that gets better opens, but they didn't just take the best practice at face value, but tested it and tested it and tested it and tested it. Takeaway number 5, best practices can be amazing, or they can totally not work for your brand. And the only way to know is to test it again and again. Another thing I was really impressed with was how the team trusts their gut. How, if they feel out of touch, they send a survey and get back in touch. This is huge. As a society, we don't value intuition enough, but it actually is a real thing. In their case, it even engenders connection. It builds authenticity and helps the brand feel more human because they are acting human and not just working on cold, hard numbers. Takeaway number 6 might sound a little fluffy, but if your gut is telling you something, follow that insight and see where it takes you. Okay, last bit before I read you the non-customer version of this email. Timing your feedback. Jonathan mentioned that once a year surveys aren't frequent enough. You don't want to send a feedback survey a whole year after someone buys. And a great fix for this is, yes, to run a brand-wide annual survey just to get in feedback crunching mode, but also to run behavioral-based surveys. Joe from Copy Hackers popularized the thank you page survey. When a customer purchases, she asks them why they bought on the thank you page. The timing is perfect. The customer is excited about the purchase and willing to share their experience, not to mention that they remember very vividly what brought them to purchase. And then when enough time has passed for them to receive the product, to use the product, to appreciate it, that's when you can send them a full survey that is timed exactly right for them to give you accurate data of both their emotional experience and their product experience. So takeaway number 7, sign up for Email Mastery to learn exactly when to send that post-purchase feedback email, along with requests for reviews, referrals, upsells. Just kidding. Takeaway number 7 is to set up a thank you page survey and a post-purchase survey email for each customer, in addition to your annual survey. However, if you do want to learn more about email strategy, you are very welcome to get on the Email Mastery waitlist. The link is in the show notes because that is the kind of stuff that we do talk about. Okay, let's take a look at that non-customer version. Hi there. Our family business has been working hard on making licorice.com the best brand and experience it can be, but we noticed you haven't purchased yet and wanted to know why. Since we're always looking to improve, we'd be grateful if you could take a quick survey. It's one question and it will take 30 seconds. Just click the button below to get started. Sending licorice love, Sarah, co-founder. There are a few key differences. Number 1, this email is all about them feeling indebted to you as a subscriber. Again, they're playing up the meaningfulness of the feedback. The only option they have for show, not tell, is saying family business. So there is a lot of tell in here, but it's done very well. It's said very naturally. They are asking for help, but they're not begging for it. The second key difference is that they are only asking one question, which is a much smaller ask because they're asking from someone who is much less connected to the brand. Finally, the sign-off is different. It's a nice touch to include a warmer sign-off for your customers than for your non-customers to just show your customers your gratefulness, give them a little bit more of a VIP feel. By the way, I included the survey itself in the show notes too. It's pretty cute what they did, but I'll let you take a look for yourself. Thanks for listening. I don't know about you, but I am off to go eat some licorice.
Thanks for geeking out with me about that email story. If you enjoyed either of these episodes, you'll probably enjoy getting my emails. Plus, you'll never miss another episode. Sign up at nikkialbus.com/subscribe. And yes, that link is in the show notes.
up next on Email Swipes. So here I was drooling over all these gorgeous Instagram feeds. And in the back of my head is also all this talk about how much they love their customers and how much they appreciate their customers and how they know how hard their customers are working. And I suddenly had this thought.